Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, everybody, put your hands together. It's got to get better. All over the world, listen to these words. People come.
People come.
People go.
People go.
Your life has been.
Your life has been.
Out of control.
Out of control.
You're confused.
You're confused.
But don't worry.
Don't worry. Your song, it will get better.
It's gotta get
better. It will get better.
It's gonna be
better. It will get better.
Cause God,
God is in
control, y'all. Hey. Thank you, Lord. Hey.
Find the praise
within your heart.
Within your heart.
Hold it close.
Hold it close.
Don't ever.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you all. It is just beautiful to be able to come into this place and share with you the Word of God. And it is so lovely to be able to do it. I am so grateful to be able to do it. I want to start our session off today with a prayer that I found on the Truth Unity website. And so I'd like to share this with you as we begin. This is a prayer by Elizabeth Searle Lamb. And so if we'll bow our heads and take a moment to take our attention to our heart space, let us pray. Dear Father God, now I give the I am within my being full dominion over my life. I recognize the I am as the essence of that which is in truth thy Son, symbolized by Jesus Christ. Within deep silence, in thy presence, I am conscious of the inner Christ, through whom I am able to enter into real communion with thee. Just as Jesus drew to himself the 12 disciples, teaching them as he walked and talked with them, so I call upon each of the 12 faculties of mind that must all be developed within me. They must learn and grow in spiritual unfoldment and finally reach a spiritual regeneration complete and total in Christhood. So, in prayer, dear Father, I call upon faith, strength, wisdom, and love. Peter, Andrew, James, and John. I feel a quickening of these qualities within my being. I call forth spiritual power, imagination, understanding, and will. Philip, Bartholomew, or Nathaniel, Thomas, and Matthew. I call upon order, zeal, renunciation, and the life forces. James the Less, Simon the Zealot, Thaddeus, and Judas. Now, each of these faculties is quickened spiritually, redeemed and harmonized, balanced in the whole pattern of the 12. It is my prayer, dear Father God, that my own inner Christ self, the I am, may take full control of my being, so that I may say with Jesus, I and the Father are one. Amen, amen, and so it is. The blessings of God are upon each one of us. And the 12 powers that are within each one of us are quickened right here and right now. Thank you, Father. And so it is, and so it is, and so it is. I began with that prayer because as we study these New Testament exploits and experiences and the teachings of Jesus the Christ, we are actually changing ourselves on the inside. As so many of us who have been on this path for a long time, we have accomplished some of these things. However, there's still a long way to go. And the more I read this, and we've only gotten up to chapter 4 and 5, the more I read it, the more I see that there's so much richness in it. It's something here for each one of us. And so let's move on in our study of the New Testament. We did chapters 1, 2, and 3. And I think that in chapter 3, which we did last week, John the Baptist is representing the intellect, prepared the way for Jesus' ministry on earth. He explained that water baptism is a symbol of repentance. To us, it indicates a relinquishment or letting go, denial, renunciation. Before we can accept true ideas, we must deny or give up error beliefs. John knew that his sole mission was to help men prepare their minds and hearts for the greater truth that Jesus would bring them, and Jesus would baptize them with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is an affirmative quickening of the spiritual nature, a positive acceptance of the Christ self in man. Fire symbolized cleansing and purification. The fire of spirit consumes error. So that we knew that, we know that in repentance, first we must recognize the negativity in us and about us. We are supposed to see it and know and be able to verbalize it, be conscious of the negativity that is in this particular space, and eliminate it. The elimination, though, is followed by affirmation. So repentance, then, includes the use of denial and affirmation, and it might be compared to the process of threshing wheat and chaff. A wheat is thrown into the separator, and a wheat is separated from the chaff, and the chaff is eliminated. We are told that Jesus came to John to be baptized, and John hesitated because he felt himself unworthy to baptize one so great as Jesus. Even though Jesus' public ministry had not begun, John recognized him as the Messiah. But Jesus felt that the baptism of John was symbolic of the first step in spiritual attainment, just as denial of error should precede affirmation of truth. When Jesus was baptized, the heavens of clear understanding were open to him. As he gained a full conviction of God's presence and power, the spirit of peace filled his whole being. And from that moment, Jesus was completely aware of God's infinite love and of his heritage as God's son. At a later time in Jesus' life, Jesus promised that faith would give one the keys of the kingdom of heaven. By denying the appearance of evil and affirming the power of good, man can free themselves from error and unlock universal blessings. Complete control of mind, body, and affairs may be attained through faithful denial and affirmation. And so I think that would you please put your phone on mute if you're not talking, please, because I hear your background noise. It's distressing, distracting. Thank you. This denial and affirmation, which we use very often. However, until I started reading this, I really didn't look at denial and affirmation as being as powerful as it actually is. So the statement, complete control of mind and body and affairs may be attained through faithful denials and affirmations. So this is such an important piece in our spiritual growth. These invisible keys, which we have labeled denial and affirmation, literally open the doors to the kingdom of happiness, well-being, provided, of course, that we use them in the right way. So as we go through this, we'll be talking about how to use denial and affirmation in the right way. Now, of course, we know denial is the mental process of erasing from consciousness the false beliefs of the sense mind. Denial clears away belief in evil as a reality. Now, that in itself is a very important statement, because we have to be able to see that negativity in any form has no real reality, except the reality that we give to it. So when we take away the reality of whatever negativity is around us, then we can make room for establishing the truth, because truth is eternal. Truth always lasts. Truth is. And so when Jesus says, and we read about the keys of the kingdom, what are the keys of the kingdom? The spiritual cleansing of the mind typifies the cleansing power and work of the Spirit, Holy Spirit, which redeems man from sin. Repentance, then, is the first step in the realization of truth. So we must go within, we must look at our attitudes and ideas, and we immediately, when we see the see negative, we immediately deny its reality. So how can we distinguish between the baptism of John, which was for repentance, and that of Jesus? So the two baptisms in chapter 3 represent the two common steps in spiritual development: denial, that is into repentance, eliminating from our thought patterns negativity, because it is unreal, and laying hold of the new, affirming that which is true. And so those were what the two baptisms were about in chapter 3. After Jesus' baptism in chapter 3, he begins his ministry in chapter 4. Now, chapter 4 has four main sections: the temptation of the Christ, of the beginning of Christ's ministry, calling the disciples, and doing healing and teaching. Written for a Jewish Christian audience, Matthew's main concern is to present Jesus as a teacher even greater than Moses. After his baptism, the Spirit of God had led Jesus into the wilderness. In preparation for a period of temptation, Jesus fasted 40 days. The devil tempted him three different ways. First, the devil said to him, "Turn these stones into bread. You're very hungry." The second temptation was for Jesus to jump from the pinnacle of the temple and have God save him, or have his angels save him. And the third temptation was to fall down and worship Satan so that he would receive all of the kingdoms of the earth. Jesus refused to give in to Satan and rebuked him three times with scripture. After trying and failing to get Jesus to sin, the devil departed. Now, at his baptism, Jesus had received full understanding of man's indwelling spiritual power, and the time had come when he had to decide upon the course of his life. So he went into seclusion, he fasted and prayed, and contemplated his spiritual gifts for 40 days. After 40 days, he was quite hungry. Now, this scripture talks about the devil. Let's look and see exactly what is this devil. It occurred to Jesus that he could use God's power to transform the stones to bread. So it was Jesus' thought pattern that came through him to say, I can turn stones into bread. But Jesus was quick to reject the temptation and to use spiritual power, because this was a temptation to use spiritual power for selfish purposes. And he recalled Moses' scriptural advice that man should not live by bread alone. Later, the thought came to him that he could be divinely protected from harm, even if he jumped from the pinnacle of the temple. Such a dramatic experience would command the admiration of many people, and so it would. However, Jesus wanted only to glorify God, not to use spiritual power for personal glory. So again, he quoted scripture to the effect that man's higher self should not be tempted to unworthy uses of power. Next, Jesus considered the fact that he could become an earthly ruler. He had everything that he needed to become an earthly ruler. But worldly ambition and the exaltation of personality were not a part of service to God. Thus, Jesus quoted the scripture that described his chosen mission, for he would teach and demonstrate man's spiritual unity with God. And he said, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. So here we have a lesson in how to overcome temptations. Those things that draw us, that are wrong, or take us away from the wonderful service that we are giving to man and humanity. So how to overcome temptation? We overcome evil with good. Anything that causes us to think, feel, or act as if we were separate and apart from God, the all good, we call that temptation. The devil or Satan, what is that? They are simply names of evil thinking or the temptation to follow the wrong path. A state of consciousness adverse to the good sense consciousness. So that's what Satan is. I know so many people give so much power to Satan and evil and the devil, etc. However, when people say the devil made me do it, it's not the devil that made you do it. It's your thought pattern, beliefs, ideas that make you do things. Remember, we do live by this. As a man thinketh, so is he. And so we know that negative thinking, evil thinking, satanic thinking is the reason that so much evil exists in the world. But the good news is that unreality, it can be replaced by truth. And truth abideth always. And so as we recognize the negativity in our thought patterns and beliefs, we can change those to that which is positive. Jesus used scripture. Jesus used affirmation. How to triumph over temptation? Through denial and affirmation, by substituting good for apparent evil. Jesus set before us an example of faith in God, his own divine Father. His faith was so great that he met every test and enabled him to overcome and master every human problem. Jesus met his testings with denials and affirmations. So this denial and affirmation thing is very, 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 very important and very positive. The truth, man shall not live by bread alone, and that is the truth. And the second temptation that he was hit with by the devil, thou shalt not make trial of the Lord thy God. And the third one, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So he established a pattern for us to follow when we meet testings or temptations. We must learn that our word has power to bring our desires to fulfillment. And that's another thing. Usually our denials and affirmations are verbalized. We have to use the power of our word. We do so much praying silently, but we have to get into the habit or into speaking our word. It's not just enough to speak the word of truth, however, but we must also know that energy and resourcefulness are necessary for the fulfillment of our desires. If we want the abundant life by just sitting and even just speaking affirmation and denials and affirmations, we have to get up and use our energy and resourcefulness to achieve those things that we want to achieve. I have a friend right now who sits and prays all day, but makes no effort to get up and to be in life and to pursue fulfillment and to do what is necessary to get certain things done. And therefore, that is what she does. She prays all day, and she's been praying for a very long time. So that energy and resourcefulness is part of it too. We ask God to show us what to do so that we can achieve the things that we are praying for and the things we desire. And God will speak and let us know what we can do to accomplish the things that we want to accomplish. So how do we keep temptations out of our life? Only by means of that spiritual power that we find within us. We deny that negative thoughts or ideas have any authority over us, and we affirm the sustaining power of the Christ. And that is how we are able to. So those temptations of Christ are very, very, very important to us. And so that is the truth. Okay, I want to stop right now and see if there's anyone who has anything to say about affirmation, denial and affirmation, or temptations in our lives, et cetera, and what we had just discussed. If there's anyone, now is the time.
Well, I wanted to share something that is in relationship to affirmations and denials.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Being diagnosed with quote, cancer,
mm-hmm.
I initially attended a support group. And at that meeting, everyone was sharing all their experiences with cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided that I was not going to attend the workshop anymore, the support group anymore, because I didn't feel that I should continuously speak about the effects of cancer and how it's affecting me and that I had it and saying that and affirming that I have cancer. And when I approached one of the members, she said, "Why don't you attend?" Well, I said, "I'm in denial." And what I meant by denial is knowing that there's a possibility that the doctors have diagnosed it. I don't need to continuously speaking, "Yes, I have. Yes, it is that." My form of denial was that I'm healthy, I'm whole, and I'm complete. But by being in the group, I would be continuously confirming, "I have cancer. I have cancer. It's affecting me. It's bothering me." So therefore, that it's a thin line between denial and affirmation to some people. But to me, the denial is positive because I don't have to keep talking. I don't have to keep saying it. And your words do have meaning. Your words do affect your entire being. It affects your cells and everything else in your body. So when you are in denial, It's not that you are denying that you don't have something or that you're not experiencing something, but it's denying that that experience is overtaking you.
Well, so absolutely. So I agree with you, and I think that everybody else, everybody would agree. I know a lot of people have that feeling about Alcoholics Anonymous, too, because they always begin with, I am an alcoholic. And we know, we who study truth, we know that I am must be followed by something that is positive. And so, therefore, I agree with you. And denials are not to be, said with great force. It is not fighting about whatever the condition may be. And so the wording is important also. It is in denial we acknowledge something is wrong, etc. But we move away from that as we affirm the truth, like you did. I am well. I am well. And you can enumerate your wellness. We construct the affirmation so that strongly and speaking it aloud so that it becomes part of our thinking, our habitual thinking. So, and that is the big step toward wholeness, healing, health, and anything else that we need, all the fulfillment that we need. But I was surprised as I read this about the use of denial and affirmation. So you're right. Denial and affirmation are very important things. And affirmation is the thing that changes the consciousness. And so, yes, we do emphasize affirmation. You are well. You are whole. You are complete. So you're right, girl.
Yes.
Absolutely. I just want to say one thing. When you're speaking, one thing that you would have to do, and this is practical, surround yourself with people who are in like mind. Because when you don't, that other side keeps coming up, popping up. That, quote, evil thoughts, evil beliefs keep popping up.
Yes.
So when you surround yourself with in situations and experiences with positive people who
mm-hmm.
think the way you do,
mm-hmm.
then you can maintain
mm-hmm.
that state of consciousness.
Yes, it is very important. And that is something, I guess, that we can pray about, that we do need, as we affirm for ourselves, we should pray about activities and companions, et cetera, who will help us accomplish what we want to accomplish. And in this case, it was health. So, yes, you should do that, of course. But that might be something you might have to pray about. And you did pray about it, obviously, because you stopped going to the meeting. I'm sure that was a prayerful decision that you made.
Definitely.
Okay. All right. So, such as is. Okay, anybody else want to say something? I thought I heard another voice, too. Okay, all right.
All right. I just came on. I'm late getting here. I just got here, but that's
glad to have you, honey. I'm so glad you're here.
But yeah, the prayer itself is the affirmation, you know,
mm-hmm.
the prayer. That's,
mm-hmm.
that's the affirmation. Once you do the prayer, you know, that's where the affirmation comes in. Because
mm-hmm.
the prayer, in the unity prayer, you go through a five step, and the first
yes.
step is realization. That's
mm-hmm.
when you know that you know that you know.
Yes.
And this is what I heard Imani saying. She knew that she knows that she knows that she knows, you know, that this
yes.
thing has no power over me.
Yes.
And
yes.
that's what I heard. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
so,
yes.
Yeah, but it's good being here. And I
oh, good. We're glad
okay.
to have you, too. We're glad
I'll get
to
the
have
second
you.
Half. Okay.
All right. So
there
I just want thank you. Thank you. I just wanted to say that. In chapter 4 also, here is Jesus selects his disciples. And so I'm looking at the truth unity, metaphysics of chapter 4. Here we witness the occasion when five men made the most important decisions of their lives. Jesus walked on the shore by the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brothers named Simon, Peter, and Andrew. They were fishermen and were busy at their work. The indwelling Christ wisdom directed Jesus to choose these two as his first disciples, offered them the opportunity to become fishers of men. The brothers already knew Jesus and believed his teachings, so when the master called them to work with him, they responded promptly and joyously. Walking farther, Jesus saw two other fishermen, the brothers James and John, sons of Zebedee. They were mending nets in a boat by the shore. Again, at the master's invitation, there was no hesitation. James and John promptly left their father and their occupation to follow Jesus. Later, Jesus saw a tax collector named Matthew at work in his office. Probably his position was a lucrative one, but he too made the decision to change his life's work and become one of Jesus' apostles. Later, Jesus was at a dinner with Matthew and other followers, and with some others, including tax collectors. When some Pharisees criticized Jesus for eating with sinners, the master made it plain that his mission was to teach God's truth to those who especially needed help. Jesus explained further that he came not to call the righteous, but to help those who needed help. He knew that a true spirit of love was of first importance. Our destiny is determined by our decision and our willingness to act upon them. Accomplishment comes only through decision followed by positive action. The men and women of this world who cannot seem to make up their minds experience continual frustration, confusion, disappointment, and defeat. Often their indecision is prompted not so much by ignorance as by doubts and fears. Doubts regarding their ability, and fear of making a mistake or being criticized. Usually the indecisive person is willing to take the responsibility that goes with taking a definite stand or following a purposeful course. Well, our aim is to rise above the indecisive category and form the habit of right decisions. A logical plan in making wise decisions involves answering for ourselves such questions as these. What do I sincerely want to accomplish? What pertinent facts should be considered? Are these facts actually true in the light of truth? What possible courses are open to me as a child of God? What plan of action will most nearly fulfill my desire? Am I willing to do about it? We will ask any of the above questions prayerfully, bearing in mind that above all else, our answers should be guided by one prime consideration. What is God's will in this situation? The same thought might be stated, what is for the highest good of all concerned? What does God want me to do? Although it was probably not a conscious process, Matthew and the other apostles of our lesson answered all the foregoing questions before they gave up their way of life and responded to Jesus. And so right here, I think this is so important that we use these questions in many, many situations. What is God's will in this situation? What is the highest good for all concerned? What does God want me to do? And so by asking these questions, which are really praying about what we should do, we pray first and then do what seems best. So whatever perplexes us, take it to the Lord in prayer. What is your will in this? What is the best thing for me to do? Pray, then do what seems best. God will definitely answer. So the significance of the five men who decided to become apostles, they represent the faculties that we are born with. We don't have to go out and find it. We don't have to pay any money to get it. The five represent the faculties of faith, strength, judgment, love, and the will. We call forth these faculties in making right decisions. Now, Matthew is associated with making decisions because he represents the will faculty in man. The will is the executive power of the mind, the directive power that determines character and action. And how can we make best use of this faculty of the will? By subjecting the personal will to the divine will. When man wills to do the will of God, he exercises his individual will in wisdom, love, and spiritual understanding. And so we line up our will with God's will, and all is well. And so those that chapter 4 is so rich in stuff that it is just amazingly rich. And I think that praying about our indecision, allowing God to guide us into making even small decisions in life is so important. And the use of our denials and affirmations are tremendously important. And so now we can move on to chapter 5. Reverend Mary Lou is going to talk to us about chapter 5, the Beatitudes, that's about the attitudes that should be in us as we move toward the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, our regeneration process. And so, Reverend Mary Lou, if you will speak to us about the Beatitudes. Go right ahead. Chapter 5.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Reverend Ellen. So, thank you. As we move to chapter 5, the first 12 verses is the Sermon on the Mount, is the Beatitudes. And Jesus, seeing the multitudes, went up into the mountain. And when he had sat down, his disciples came to him, and he talked, and he taught them, saying, these are the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are they that have been persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are ye when men shall reproach you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets that were before you. So Jesus is teaching the apostles, and what do we mean by a blessing? And a blessing is to invoke good upon, to call forth the action of God, to confer God's good on something or someone. Now, the power of blessing. Blessings impart the quickening spiritual power that produces growth and increase. It has the power of multiplication. And this is from Truth Unity website, the metaphysical aspects from Chapter 5. And now the purpose of Jesus in giving us the Beatitudes, Jesus in exaltation blesses his spiritual man with the attributes of God and blesses the natural man with the attributes of the spiritual man. He gives us attitudes for being in conscious oneness with God. And then some more of the questions. What blessing is found in the hunger and thirst for righteousness? Now, this is the blessing of fulfillment. And then it goes on, it says, is mercy the invariable reward of those who show mercy? Now, it is the reward of those who are conscious of the need to be merciful and who express their consciousness faithfully. Under divine law, what we give out comes back to us multiplied. And the kingdom of heaven is the kingdom of truth, which is made manifest in and through the universal mind. The realm of mind makes consciousness of truth possible. And the way we discover this hidden truth is by rising to a higher level of thought than that of the material or the sense consciousness. To do this, we give up all thoughts that depress us or lower our morale, and then we cultivate thoughts that lead us up to a more exalted state. And all the attention and devoted to truth is required. A lot of attention and devotion to truth is required to enable us to overcome undesirable thinking habits, like Reverend Ellen was saying, the denial of the error thoughts that we may be having. In order to possess the pearl, we buy the whole field. We devote ourselves to the developing of the mental nature with all that this implies, which is it's essential to full forgiveness, for forgiveness, that of humility and impartiality, and then that in which the faculty of love is the dominant factor. We come from the heart-centered, metaphysical quality of love. And is humility easily realized? It is when we consider our obligation to observe the divine law of love instead of weighing the shortcomings of others. Now, what is the kingdom of heaven compared to a certain king? Now, because it is in the realm in which the will, the faculty of the will, is operative, a king represents the faculty of the will. And why does the will, why does it symbolize one of great authority? And this is because it is by the exercise of the will, the faculty of will, that the other faculties are brought into expression. Goodwill is a condition precedent to the establishment of peace in the individual, in society, and in the world. Lacking willpower, a person reacts weakly and ineffectually, and he is undependable. Good will freely forgive all offenses. And is exaltation of mind compatible with good will? Yes, actually, it is not only compatible with goodwill, but it cannot exist where goodwill is not in evidence. So the faculty of the will is very important. It is sometimes necessary for us to forgive ourselves. Forgiving ourselves is a daily necessity if we are to drop our failures, our shortcomings, our error thoughts from mind, and go forward with affirmations, with strength and courage towards new undertakings. And now, who are the pure in heart in the Beatitudes? Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. They are the unselfish persons who see the good in all that they look upon rather than the evil. Purity of heart, motive, or intent allows its possessor to see the good in others. And then the last question in this affirmation, is the question, let me see, how does the peacemaker find peace for himself? He shares the peace that he makes between other people. To know peace is to know happiness and demonstrate that one is the Son of God. So peacemaker, to become a peacemaker is, and now how can anyone love their enemies? This is one of Jesus' teachings, to love your enemy. And we do this by refusing to judge their conduct towards him by worldly standards, by forgiving their trespasses against him, and by beholding them as children of God, the universal Father. We are all children of God, and we love our enemies by loving them and by not judging them. And that's very important in our in the teaching that Jesus was teaching the disciples in teaching the Beatitudes. Now, how can we love our enemies? That then you would say, by remaining loyal to the truth of Christ, our Christ consciousness, which is altogether impersonal and selfless. This means that we are to behold the Christ consciousness in ourselves and also the Christ consciousness in others, and to express the love of the Christ towards them and call it forth into expression through them. And Now, what sort of courage should one have in order to cope with life? One needs moral courage. And since moral courage enables a man to meet physical death without fear, it is both physical and moral. And what thought is uppermost in the statement that not one sparrow is forgotten in the sight of God? The universality of divine law, under which not even the least expression of life can be made outside the law. The very hairs on your head are all numbered. So we are all children of God. We are all, there is just one spirit. And what is the relation of love to health? When we come from love, love is the great harmonizer and healer. Whoever calls on God as Holy Spirit for healing is calling on divine love. And then the rest of the chapter after the Beatitude goes on with further teaching of Jesus, and especially the one from verses 17 to 20, Jesus is his teaching about the law of love, actually. Do not think that I have come to do away with the law of Moses and the teachings of all the prophets. I have not come to do away with them, but to make their teachings come true. So remember that as long as heaven and earth last, not the least point nor the smallest detail of the law will be done away with, not until the end of all things. So then whatever, whoever disobeys even the least important of the commandments and teaches others to do the same will be the least in the kingdom of heaven. But on the other hand, whoever obeys the law and teaches others to do the same will be great in the kingdom of heaven. And then in verse 20, chapter 5, I tell you then that you will be able to enter the kingdom of heaven only if you are more faithful than the teachers of the law and the Pharisees in doing what God requires. So thank you.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you very much for going through that. As I said before, we can't possibly do everything that's in the chapter. It is so very, very dense and so in everything just about is important. And so this idea of the attitudes that we are supposed to have, they are our beatitudes, and they are all lovely. And certainly to bring them back to our attention is very, very, very important. I just want to end quickly with saying that in chapter 5, verse 14, ye are the light of the world, and that's who we're talking about. We're talking to our audience. We're talking to the people that we know are in seriously, consciously, every day, want to walk in God's love and light and growth. You are the light of the world, the faculties of all those whose understanding is quickened by the Christ consciousness, enlightened, and they in turn use the wisdom and intelligence of their possessors. We let our light shine before men by consistently living according to our best understanding. We let others see that spirit that animates us and the character that we have formed. And we let our love and light show and shine every single day. And that is what we do. And so when the audience that I'm speaking to, I know that you are people who we could say ye are the light of the world. And so it is for this week. We will continue next week with chapter 6 and 7. Okay, so if you have something to say about what we have said today, or something you would like to add, or something that you would like to question, please feel free to do it right now.
Okay, this is Elva again. And
go ahead, dear.
I may be a little behind or either ahead, but I keep coming back to that new community and where we are today. And at one time, you know, Marianne Williamson was out there on the trail, and she's still doing some things. I got a letter from her yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying hard to see, you know, how. Well, one of the things she said when she first started running was she would create a department or agency of peace. And when we talk about this peacemaker, how is fueling, adding fuel to a war, how is that making peace? I mean, does that make sense to those that are supporting these wars and wanting to continue in these wars? Is that does that really make sense to them? It makes no sense to me. But I just like to know how some of the others feel. And, you know, that's a very powerful statement. Blessed are the peacemakers. They will call the children of God children of love, you know?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And so I'm saying, you know, this is, you know, this is what we need in this current era, or in this current age, or in this race consciousness that we're in now. If, you know, we're talking about bringing the Christ into it. But this is what Christ was teaching. And I'm wondering, at what point are we going to get it? You know, what point are we going to, you know, repent and turn and start to see this thing, you know, that we got to give up all of this fighting and whatever else we are doing and those you know, just come out of that old covenant and come into this new covenant of peace. That's what Jesus came. He said, my peace I bring to you, my peace I leave with you. And this is where, you know, we have to go. And this is, you know, this is how I have to apply these readings and this life that, you know, was assigned to Jesus or the Christ that was a sign then. I see, you know, we just got to bring it up to date into today's living.
Well, I see your frustration, and I agree with you, and I think that everybody can agree with that frustration about groups of people.
Mm-hmm.
But to me anyway, it's about Each one of us has to find God's peace, harmonize our thoughts with God's laws, and radiate peace to others.
Yeah, that's what the song says.
Yes.
Let it begin with me.
It begins with me. And so, therefore, I think, like, for instance, okay, right now, you are in the company of people who are peacemakers. We are not a political group. But if we wanted to become a political group, we could probably become a political group.
Okay.
But it starts, but we personally have to be committed to peace. That is not easy because many people, as you look out on your relatives and friends and acquaintances, a lot of people are not there. They are just not there.
And you know what? I look at Jesus' life as you continue to read these stories that's been assigned to Jesus. And, you know, in the time that he, maybe getting ahead now, he went into in the temple and overturned, the tables and all of that. Was that peaceful? The times that, you know, he just got angry with the people. Even at the end, he kind of like, oh, my, a little faith, you know. It kind of said, well, you know, Jesus, you know, he's getting.
He was a little impatient.
Yeah, a little impatient. It seems that way. It seems that way.
Okay, so, well, let's wait till we get to that part because truly, see, another thing about this and what we're doing with it, we're looking at it metaphysically so that it's an intellectual kind of process. You got to read this stuff, you know, and then assimilate it into your head.
Yeah, Christianity. In other words, we're bringing this new thought into Christianity.
Yes, we are.
It's called metaphysical Christianity. That's
what we are.
Yeah.
Do you know what a big step it is?
It's more than a step.
when we look at the temptations of Jesus, all of the millions of sermons you've heard on the temptations of Jesus, this is really the first time that I have read that the devil, Satan, was Jesus' negative thinking. That's the first time I've heard that.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah,
immediately, wait. So I know it. You know what I mean? I know it from having gone through the lessons and whatnot in Unity and Divine Science. But this is the first time I have said Jesus had some negative thinking. He overcame it, though. He overcame it. So that's the lesson. That we can't overcome the negative thinking.
Well, that adverse ego is in all of us.
Absolutely.
That's all that is. It's
absolutely.
The ego. It's the ego that brings that next. That tells us that we are separated. We are not good enough. You know.
Thank you.
And all of that. Adverse ego in us, and we all
absolutely.
Have it.
And Jesus had it.
Yeah, we all
and
have
see,
that adverse ego.
Right, and that makes Jesus so much more approachable because I have it. I mean, we all got it, right?
Right.
So that makes it so much more approachable. And
right.
I'm just delighted to have read that. So, I'm saying is we you know, it's just so much here. That we have to. Now, I had to turn off that whole idea about Satan. You understand? Even though in most situations I do not give Satan any kind of approval or acceptance. But for some reason, at this particular story about Jesus, I had not turned that off. So it was surprising to me. And now it's not. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
It's about growing and changing and turning off the stuff you think you knew. And it's wonderful.
And, you know, that's what I heard in Imani's testimony.
Yeah.
That she was turning off that ego.
Yes.
She was shutting it down. She was saying, no.
Yes.
You're not going to make me feel like, you know, I have to own this. I have to claim this. I'm going to just claim this.
Yes.
Through
yes.
that Christ yes. within me, I am going to disclaim that.
That's right.
That sickness, that disease.
Yes.
And that's what I heard when she spoke.
Yes. And
you
what
know,
embraces.
He just
embraces
shut it down, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Shut it down.
Yes.
That's what we have to do.
Absolutely. And what is so beautiful is it can be done. It can be done. This
you
is
say, I do these things,
talking,
and
you
can do even greater things.
Even greater.
Yeah.
Even
so
greater.
That's
yes.
our task.
Yes. 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 So, if we are to put together or to be a part of some kind of political peacemaking group, let it be.
Well, that's
new
why
community.
Jesus. That's why God sent Jesus to show us the human aspects of us, how
Thank
that
you.
Can be turned around, how
Thank
we can
you.
Overcome. And
yes.
even if we have to suffer and die for a moment, we can be resurrected and we can begin to live the life. I spent two or three hours in the wee hours of the morning explaining to this young person. She wasn't a young woman. She's been studying literally the Bible for years, and everything I said was against the Bible because the Bible said this and that and the other. And it took us hours to decipher who God was that she wanted a close relationship with. But she started naming the features of God, you know, like, and so instead of knowing the spirit of God. So it takes time. It's man's consciousness, and that's going to take time. And energy, maybe not even in this lifetime.
Okay.
But we have to set the pace.
Let it be. Let it be. Let
we
it
are
be.
The light.
Let it be. We are the light, yes.
Mm-hmm.
The light of the world. And so, therefore, we can let our light shine. We use our love to propel us and our light to shine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're supposed to do. So, if you want to join Marianne Williamson and all that, maybe we can do that. You know, that's fine. It's fine with me.
Yeah, well, I hope if Biden wins, maybe he'll give her a position.
Perhaps he will.
Because I think she's on to something that we need. Yeah.
And she started this a while back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
yeah.
It's
she
not
ran before. Yeah.
Right. So it's not that she is jumping in. She must know some of the ropes now. And
well,
so
she won 5% in New York.
Okay.
Primary.
Okay. So
well, maybe
let's
she
see,
can
get something okay, maybe
in his cabinet.
We are ready to go into politics, girl.
To cross over.
Speaking of politics.
Okay.
I hate to jump in with this, but I'm going to mention it. Certain people, I'm not mentioning names, the mere fact that this person would hold up a Bible means that something is going on. It could be a con game, but I believe there's something spiritual going on and that there is hope, that there's a possibility. I try to keep praying that would be a turnaround at some point. I have to, really see the good and see that somehow that can be turned around. No one thinks he can, but I think somehow it must be in his consciousness.
All things are possible.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't discount that. All things are possible. So
yeah, my mother used to say it's a bad wind that never changes.
Right. Yeah. And all things are possible. You know, people do all kinds of turnarounds in their life.
Mm-hmm.
So, whoever you're talking about, people can change. People do change. And
yeah.
They change drastically and radically. They change.
Being
so
in a situation.
Keep smiling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe being in a situation with certain people, he may have no choice but to change.
No. He has a choice. He always has a choice.
But that may inspire him.
For there to be a true, repentance or change, one has to do it consciously. It doesn't happen.
Willingly.
Will. Yes.
The will must be willing.
You don't move to the situation, Moving to the situation, putting yourself in the position or changing superficially for your own thing.
Ego.
That's not what we're talking about here.
We have to get in the will of God. We have to get in that will of God. We have to become willing.
Yes.
Even to love someone, you got to be willing to love them.
Yes.
So you have to be in that will of God.
Yes.
Otherwise, it's not going to happen.
Right. And he
but
can
like you say,
be, and
affirmations
that can happen
ended
for
now.
Every human being.
I believe it.
Will help change us, move us over into that will of God, and know that it is good.
Yes, it is. It is good. So, ladies, here we are. We've finished with our work for today, and I just wanted to say a couple of little things here. That we must repent or change our thoughts and ideas when they are not in the will of God. And
exactly.
Our tools for repentance are denials and affirmations. And our tools for handling temptation and testing are denials and affirmations. And these denials and affirmations, especially the affirmations, build our Christ consciousness. And to grow in spiritual unfoldment and reach a spiritual regeneration, we have to call on the 12 powers. They are very, very important. And cultivate the be attitudes that we had today. And so it is, and so it is.
Amen.
Thankful.
Amen. Thank you, Reverend Ellen.
And being able to out there.
Thank you.
Thank you, Imani.
Thanks,
everybody.
Everybody have a good
weekend. All right. Bye now.
Bye-bye. God bless. Take care.
Have a wonderful week. God bless.
The love of God and
the
power of God protects
us.
The presence of God watches over us wherever we are. God is.
God is.
And all is well.
All is well.
Go in peace.
Go in peace.
Walk with the Master.
And walk with the Master.
Until next Friday. God
bless.
Amen.
Amen. God bless.
Amen.
God be the glory.
God. Thank you.
Thank you.
God be the glory. Thanks.
Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye now.